Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Real Talk with THB. I am Tamara Harris Bowman, your hostess, and the artwork on the screen today is by Junior Sanchez 777 on Twitter. Please follow him. He did a dynamic job describing in his way Mike Tyson on his canvas. It's absolutely beautiful. Now, that was my theme song from Rocky, which is one of my favorite films. And to anyone who has ever watched this film, many of us know it's not just about boxing. It's so deep and profound on the many levels Rocky takes a viewer. And that's why I love this film, because Mike Tyson, and I will call him an enigma, because many of you will understand that he is one. He is the subject of the program tonight, and he has lived a life inside the ring, metaphorically. It reminds me of the Kirk Franklin CD that came out quite a while ago. When you see him on the cover there, he's inside the ring fighting, which he stresses he's fighting for his life, and that is the battle spiritually that Mike Tyson has been witnessing to us. Now, because I can tell you, Mike Tyson was given a grand opportunity, and at the height of his career, he was the man. But his personal life and the demons of his past, the makeup of his circles of associates and fame branded him as a high-tempered, angry, violent, vicious, prone to outbursts and flares of intimidations. These things have marred him in the public eye. Now, his thug-like behavior, his profanity, rants, and tirades are some of the very reasons I never was a fan of Mike Tyson. He was just too flamboyantly arrogant for me. However, since his documentary, which debuted back in 2009 by Crossover Productions, which is owned by Carmelo and Lala Anthony, I tell people the documentary was such a journey of introspection for Mike, and it rendered a perspective that was not only enlightening but wide in its scope. Mike Tyson has a poetic side to him, a predilection for culture. He mentioned one time that he loved Judy Garland and Cuz would let him go to these different Broadway performances and the theater. And this is how he was able to get a little culture. And so his interest in the sublime mechanizations of the world and how we interact with it, it illustrated to me that Mike Tyson is intelligent, observant, and uncanny in his own witty way. And I enjoyed him letting us inside his head for that piece in the documentary. His life is full of grand upsets and grand glory. And many people have been able to witness and see that. And you have to respect that in the very end and in the scheme of things. And I want to look at his bio and use the documentary as my reference because it is the anchor of this discussion, Mike Tyson, the indomitable Mike Tyson. Now, Mike Tyson, who is he? Well, everyone knows he's the former undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. Now, some people can claim they are former heavyweight champions of the world, but no one can claim they are the youngest. At 20 years old, Mike Tyson was the youngest to win and earn the WBC. And he had 19 professional bouts that knocked people out. And 12 of them was in the first round. If you ever have an opportunity to just to go back and watch this and watch him in action, it's glamour on the stage. It's glamour right there in the boxing ring and watching someone go with their opponent and get it over with and get it done. There is a lot to view there and watch that you can glean just from a fight on how he got the confidence level that he did, and also how his own confidence became his adversary in a way, the thing that tripped him up in the end. Now, and he's going forward, so it's not the end, but we'll see when you look at his lifestyle what all was happening here. Now, Mike Tyson, born in Brooklyn, born on what I say the devouring streets of Brooklyn, New York City. Now, he had a brother, older than him. He also has a sister who died at a very early age at 25 from a heart attack. This was during the very beginning of his career starting to take forward. Now, before then, he was 2 years old. His father had stepped out, so he didn't have a father around. He had to witness his own mother being beat by people who were alcoholics and her herself being on drugs and watching this lifestyle. He was in a very dysfunctional household. And the reason I mention this is not to cater to some theme of dysfunctionalism to uplift this man. I am bringing this out because it's a matter of fact. And many of us know if you've been in an abused household or seen people in an abused household or neglected in dysfunctional households, well, we can't expect angels to come out of those households. So this is part of the embodiment of Mike Tyson. This is who he is inside. And these are the demons, I call them, that he's had to get rid of and exercise and release at some point in his life. So let's look at this. Abandoned by his father, his mother dies, and he is 16 years old when she passes away. And before then, he had already been arrested before the age of 13, 38 times. I found that a staggering number to even wrap my head around. For Mike to understand that he was really literally growing up on the streets, being bullied, having to defend himself, trying to stake his claim on his identity. And as you know, if when you see people get bullied today, they either crouch down or they fight back. And Mike Tyson was a fighter. And so here he is. He's been arrested. He's in detention. And this is where one of God's angels sees him. And I have to put it that way because let's understand. Now, Tyson is placed in Tryon School for Boys. His mother is passed away, and he is seen by Bobby Stewart, a juvenile detention center counselor, who notices that this young boy may have some potential in the ring. And Bobby Stewart noticed this because he was a boxer. So he began to train this young man and introduced him finally to Cuz D'Amato, which we know is a stellar figure in Mike Tyson's portfolio. Cuz D'Amato ended up being Mike Tyson's guardian at the age of 16 years old. This man took this young black boy into his household. And that's what's so beautiful about this documentary as we see this relationship unfold. Now, what I find so intriguing, as I said, about this is just that you hear this man see this guy's potential, and he uses this to help this man, this young Tyson, do something with his anger and channel it into something positive. Now, as I stated earlier, I can't justify neglected children, abused and forgotten youth for criminal or bad behavior, but I understand them as adults because those empty feelings revisit you at your weakest points in your life. But you have to learn when to dictate to them that they can't hold you, and Mike is still in the ring fighting to prove his worth to the world, Believe me, he is still in the ring fighting to prove his worth. Now, if I read an article that I came across in 2005, this is an article, you can find it. He is playing with some pigeons, and I found this writing to be very indelible. He is playing with his pigeons. They call them roller pigeons, and I've gleaned an excerpt of something he said during this interview. He states, "I'll never be happy," he says. "I believe I'll die alone. I would want it that way. I've been a loner all my life with my secrets and my pain. I'm really lost, but I'm trying to find myself. I'm really a sad, pathetic case." You know, and they state that the divorced father of six is blunt and gregarious. At that point in time, in 2005, he only had six kids. As we know, he's had eight in all. But he's funny, he's vulgar. Now, he can be vulgar in the documentary. He's outrageous, sad, angry, bitter, and at times introspective about the opportunities he squandered over the last two decades. Now, he discusses his drug use. He states, "The weed got me, lack of self-esteem, and sexual addiction." Can you think that this man would have a lack of self-esteem fighting in the ring the way he did with such skill and being a heavy weight champion? But he states he had a lack of self-esteem. "Now, my whole life," he says, "has been a waste. I've been a failure," he says. "I just want to escape. I'm really embarrassed with myself and my life. I want to be a missionary. I think I could do that while keeping my dignity without letting people know they've chased me out of the country. I want to get this part of my life over as soon as possible. In this country, nothing good is going to come out of me. I'm so stigmatized. There is no way I can elevate myself." Oh, it sounds so depressing that he thinks that low of himself. And if you read some of his bio and really get to look at the documentary, of course, he has done some things. There has been women in his life that he's taken advantage of, and he's done some bad things to people. So these things, this guilt is all building up, and he puts it so deeply out there for us that he feels what he feels other people feels about him. He even tells Oprah at one point in time during this same time span that he didn't deserve his family, his wife, and his children. He just didn't deserve them. And I must say that sometimes God gives us so much that we feel like we don't deserve, but it's by his mercy, because he has been given quite a bit, not even just financial, but just a grand opportunity. But again, he's also had the diametric opposite of that, which is the tragedies. But the Bible tells us, and I use this as a cornerstone of many things I talk about because I bring spirituality into this platform. The Bible tells us, "To whom much is given, much is required." And so he was given a lot. Now, this is what I'm talking about, the indomitable spirit of Mike Tyson. Now, so I'm not here to bash him. I'm here to put forth what he has stated, what I have read, and I'm giving my opinion on that. Now, this article with him dealing with the birds and flying them, you can almost feel the relaxation that he claims he gets from dealing with these roller pigeons, and they call them kamikaze-style pigeons because they jump off and fly like a nosedive straight to the ground for a period of time. Right before they hit the ground, they either go straight up or they slam into the ground. But the aim is for these birds, if they get the thrill out of flying straight down to the ground, and right before they hit the ground, they fly straight up. Now, it was interesting to me, as the person who wrote the article mentioned, that Mike loves these birds. And I found that interesting because he himself lives on the edge of the same lifestyle he dangerously pursues and often attaches to his personality because he has lived with it for so long, and he can't seem to give it up. He can't seem to let it go. He doesn't get complacent whether he's up or down with either one of those modes. And his own psychiatrist even mentions that this is part of his character, living, it's kind of like a bipolar thing, because there's been so much chaos in his life. Nothing's really ever clear. Nothing's really ever straightforward. It's either going to be yes or no. And they're extreme yeses and nos with Mike. And so these are different types of things he's brought into his boxing career. Now, in the documentary, when Mike is with Cuz, you see a young man who is at the age of 16 trying to understand Cuz D'Amato, who loves him. This powerful, poignant relationship and bond is so beautiful. I think Cuz's constant praise of him, you see in the clip, Cuz is going, oh, you're just beautiful, you're just beautiful. And he keeps giving him all these accolades and making him feel like he's a grand prize. And, you know, I think he still needs a male figure because this relationship ended because of Cuz's death, and so it didn't get to blossom, and that's what's so regrettable about this. Like I stated, I think he needed this, Mike. He needed a relationship like this, especially from a man who he admired so much, and I think he still needs it, even in his adulthood, a male figure that he absolutely respects, and he never saw that. His mother, like I said, passed away. His father was absent. His sister passes away, and he's dealing with so much grief. At the same time, dealing with adjusting to it and still being perpetuated into a world of famosity. It's mind-blowing to read about, but experience it. This is Mike's world. This is Michael's life, and it's been open to scrutiny to the public. And to me, after carefully pondering this legendary great and other legendary greats in the boxing realm, Mike Tyson is still the champ, alongside the greatest, Muhammad Ali. Now, Mike didn't have the form, the charisma, and the showmanship we saw Sugar Ray and Ali have, the professionalism in the camera. It's smack and trash, too, but when it came to the camera, Mike wasn't as astute with words, and he wasn't disciplined. He was like a bulldog in the ring, and people loved him in pieces, but not the whole man. That is why I believe his conviction of Desiree Washington's rape occurred. The jury didn't like him. Many saw him as arrogant, they stated in one article, edgy in the courtroom and undisciplined, which didn't mean he did it, but that type of behavior is difficult to overlook. Because in the courtroom, you want the jurors to like you. But Mike has never been truly accountable to no one, and I think that is why prison was so hard to him. It almost broke him. And he speaks quite passionately about this experience in the documentary, the denigration, and he vehemently denies the rape of Desiree. And it goes off quite convincingly to me. Yet many of us remember this incident and Miss Washington, Desiree Washington, and we remember the details of her going to his room in the wee hours of the morning. But I must put this on her naivety at the age of 18. And, you know, he was older, a big celebrity, and I'm sure that factored into her faulty judgment. But it was common knowledge this man loved women and plenty of them. So we will really never know what happened. Nonetheless, this aspect of Tyson's life is a monumental chapter in his book, and the documentary reflects this to us very well. Now, when we look at another character in Mike Tyson's life, we look at Don King, who he talks about in the documentary. And I found Don King's background to be very unsettling. But this is what Mike says about him in the documentary. He's a wretched, slimy, reptilian MF. This is supposed to be my black brother, right? He's just a bad man, a real bad man. He would kill his own mother for a dollar. He's ruthless. He's deplorable. He's greedy. And he doesn't know how to love anybody. Those are Mike Tyson's words. Now, yeah, this man had already killed in his portfolio. He had already killed two men in a 13-year period of time, and one of them by stomping him to death because he was owed $600. Now, that was back in 1966. But Don King, he mingled with high rollers in the boxing realm. He was a man from the street. He used to gamble and own a place of gambling, and his resume is filled with allegations of being involved with the mob, defrauding other boxers out of millions. And so, again, here we are with Don King. Tyson is betrayed. That's my point here. And that is where the wives come in. I remember when he was married to Robin Givens for just 1 year barely, and they had a tumultuous relationship. And during a joint interview on 2020 in 1998, Givens called her then 8-month-old marriage to Tyson torture. Pure hell, worse than anything I could possibly imagine. We all remember seeing that. A great deal of us remember that moment. I remember when I first saw that, it was so alarming for Robin as a wife to expose the turmoils of their marriage right there on the camera set in front of millions of watchers. And now after rewatching this again recently, I had another feeling as an older woman watching a hurt woman was married to a man who was still spiritually lost and neither knew nothing about love, especially under the pressures of fame and the media. Those are combinations many of us will never have the pleasure or the pressure from in the intimate moments of our lives. But here we are some 8 years later, and Mike Tyson marries Monica Turner. And they were married for just 5 years. And if you research Monica Turner, she is the sister of Michael Steele, and he's the former lieutenant governor of Maryland. And most of you will see that Michael Steele was a very likable person in politics. And so Michael, here we are again. He's marrying someone. She was in medical school pursuing her career in that. But so he likes very intelligent women. That's definitely something he goes after because he is intelligent. Now, in his third marriage, he marries a young girl, Lakia Spicer. Now, they've just been married for about 3 years now. But the history behind them is very interesting to read about, how he met this young lady. She even spoke to him for the first time. She knew of him through her father, but she spoke to him the first time by telephone prior to his prison incarceration in 1995, following this rape that we were just talking about. And it's interesting to me how these young girls come about in trying times, is what I call it. But that's how they ended up being together. And she gives some very interesting details and articles about their relationship, the troubles in their relationship, and how she's held out through it all, through him being on drugs and strung out and relapsing and her being pregnant. All that is very interesting to read about. But here we are looking at Mike. As we go further into his spiral downhill, how did he begin to be broke and declare bankruptcy after some $400 million he has earned in his career? Ooh, how can you spend that much, many people ask. Well, if you look at his debt, and we can easily see where this was going. He was an extravagant and luxurious spender. And according to his therapist, Marilyn, she states that people that come from abused homes who have this type of money, well, their pain is so deep and their void is so wide, they look for a way to cover it up. And that's a good explanation because sometimes that's how we try to do it. We try to buy things to make us feel better. So Mike Tyson's debt and how he became broke and bankrupt and squandered all this money. It's written right there in black and white. We're reading about him buying homes that had 38 bathrooms, the Internal Revenue Service. He owed $13.4 million. On one spree, he went and bought some jewelry for $173,000 for a gold chain with 80 carats that he never really paid for. But these were all on his bankruptcy files. Seven law firms are owed like $600,000, a financial manager $500,000, and the list goes on and on. Not to mention wives or ex-girlfriends who have children who are wanting child support. So these are things that are on his bankruptcy file, the extravagant living and the things like a Bengal tiger that he wanted to purchase. And I mention all this just to add to this discussion of his spirit and where it was. Now, eventually he gets a tattoo. Why does Mike have a tribal tattoo on his face? I've heard various stories of why he has a tattoo this large on his face and what the meanings could be. Now, he goes over it somewhat briefly in the documentary, but obviously he has always wanted to be different and noticed. He wants to be something other than what the world wants to see him as. So he has always sought to define himself by his own meaning, because he himself is still looking for a space where he belongs, As we know, tribes were composed of many people, but a tribe acted as a whole, as one unit. In Mike's mind, he belongs to a tribe of himself. I think that's the best way to explain it. That I may be wrong, but I'll risk it. Now that he has began this team up with Spike Lee to bring his one-man show, Mike Tyson, The Undisputed Truth, has been a great success, and I'm proud about that. Now, we now know Mike is doing a national tour for some 10 weeks. Who would have thought it that this guy who used to be the heavyweight world champion and has went through so much turmoil, even losing his young 4-year-old daughter back in 2009, he lost her. And this man is bouncing back. I read that his wife Kiki and her brother are the writers who put this together. They ran it by Spike Lee, who got on board with it. And I hope this Broadway play is highly successful and brings him some resolve in his life. He definitely deserves it. I think he deserves it because God has definitely been working through Mike Tyson for us to see and glean some wisdom from it. So after losing his young daughter, he ended up getting remarried 2 weeks later. Those are things that shows us that Mike Tyson does things in a spontaneous type way. But let's hope and pray that this national tour that he's doing will put him back on his feet again after so many hard times, and he will still be great. Because if there is one thing Tyson has shown the world, and that is he doesn't stay down for long. This is Real Talk with THB. Go get that documentary if you haven't already seen it. Be blessed.